Hey, I want to do something a bit different this morning. I reckon, what better way to start our Advent series than right here? Because Advent means coming. Jesus coming. And God invites us right now to come close, to remember, to slow down, to receive, not just a Christmas gift from him, but his always gift for us. And I thought it'd be cool this morning to start here at the table. You know, because often we leave this to the end of the service as a response to the message that we've heard. But what if this was our first response to Advent? What if this was this morning the overflow of our worship? You know, we lit the hope candle this morning. And this right here, this is the reason that we have hope. Because our God came into our mess. Because he keeps coming into our messes. And because he invites us this morning to come close, even with our mess. So we're going to start here. And we're going to put some music on, and we're just going to come like we do, row at a time, maybe come down the middle and back the sides, or whichever way. Whatever the first row leads, that's what we're going to do, okay? And we are going to just remind ourselves right at the start that God invites us this morning to come, that there's room at his table for all of us. But there's no conditions on his invitation. And he has hope for you this morning. The God of hope has hope for you this morning. So why don't we come? And in your own time, just take that back to your seat and let this be our first act of remembering this Advent coming. For coming, for always coming for us, for being the light that shines in our darkness and the source of all our hope. We accept your invitation to come again this morning, and we ask you to meet us in all our hopeless places with your gift of hope. Amen. I want to take us to an unlikely story this morning. You've probably heard me say it before, but the Bible is full of God using unlikely people in unlikely places to do unlikely things. And I love that. It gives me hope. So we're going to be reading from Joshua chapter 2. Feel free to come here with me. We've just reminded ourselves by coming to this table and celebrating communion together of the lifeline, the ultimate lifeline that gives us hope. And I want to read us a story this morning about another lifeline. Joshua chapter 2, and I'm starting from verse 1. Then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp at Acacia Grove. He instructed them, "Scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho." So the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there the night. Now, I read recently that actually brothels and inns often used to operate out of the same place. So that's probably not as dodgy as it might sound at first reading. And also probably quite a convenient cover. You know, if you wanted to sneak in somewhere where men often snuck in, then that would have been the place to go. But someone told the king of Jericho, "Some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, "Bring out the men who have come into your house, for they've come here to spy out the whole land." Now Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, "Yeah, the men were here. They were here earlier, but I didn't know where they came from. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went." if you hurry, you can probably catch up to them. Actually, she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them beneath bundles of flax that she had laid out. Probably another fairly good clue that they weren't up to anything dodgy, because I don't think she'd normally keep her clients waiting under bundles of flax on her roof. So the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossings of the Jordan River. And as soon as the king's men had left, the gate of Jericho was shut. Before the spies sleep that night, Rahab went up onto the roof to talk with them. "I know the Lord has given you this land," she told them. "We're all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. For we've heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Now, swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I've helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live, along with my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families. We offer our lives as a guarantee for your safety," the men agreed. "If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us the land." Then, since Rahab's house was built into the town wall, she let them down by a rope through the window. "Escape to the hill country," she told them. "Hide there for 3 days from the men searching for you, and then when they've returned, you can go on your way." Before they left, the men told her, "We will be bound by the oath we've taken, only if you follow these instructions. When we come into the land, you must leave this scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down. And all your family members, your father, mother, brothers, and all your relatives must be here inside the house." Jump down to verse 21, and she says, "I accept your terms," she replied. And she sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging from the window. Rahab teaches us three things about hope. Firstly, hope's not dependent on our circumstances. Here is Rahab, surrounded by terrified people. People whose hearts have melted in fear, is the description she gives, because of what they've heard about what the Israelites have done to their surrounding neighbours. Now, one thing I know about fear is that fear breeds fear, right? I remember one summer holiday down at Ohopu Beach, stunning day, enjoying a swim, 6 months pregnant, and all of a sudden my friend says to me, she is, "Run!" And I hear a fear in her voice. I look across and I see the dark shadow in the water right next to her, and I don't need no second instruction. Terrible friend, but I'm running. I ditched her and I'm thrashing my way through that water with my pregnant belly, and I'm probably screaming and doing all the things that you're not supposed to when there's a shark close by. Steve Hathaway's not here this morning, that's good, otherwise he might have had a quiet word to me later. I am pleased to tell you that my friend did survive her close encounter with the shark unscathed, but my point is, fear breeds fear. Yeah. When we see people around us panicking, that's the first thing that rises up in us too, right? Yeah. Can you think of examples of that? Now here's Rahab in a country where everyone in the land is terrified. They are living in terror. And I'm sure that would have been the easiest option, to just go with that, right? We're all freaking out together.
Yeah.
That would have been the easiest thing. And in fact, she does put herself right in the mix. You might have heard it when I read, she says, "We are all afraid of you. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear." So Rahab is feeling it just as much as the next person. And who knows that life can feel like that sometimes.
When we hear of wars going all around our world, when we read the news headlines from within our own nation, when we hear some of the desperate stories of people in our own community, and let's be honest, sometimes within the four walls of our own homes and our own families, when we get that diagnosis, when that relationship is strained and our finances are stretched, when that wayward kid does the next dumb thing, when our own wayward thoughts tempt us to do the next dumb thing, there are days when the discouragement is real and hopelessness closes in. Fear and despair are always options. But hope is also always an option. And Rahab teaches us that. In the midst of a land given over to hopelessness and terror, she discovers that hope is still an option because, now here's the second thing, she recognizes where hope can be found. So in verse 11, she says, "For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below." Her hope is not in the spies. Her hope is not in her own powers of negotiation. You know, if I just get them on my good side, maybe. She knows exactly where the actual power to save her life lies. In the supreme God of heaven and earth. You know, sometimes at Springboard, we say that God is our not-so-secret weapon. Because there are weeks that there's no way that I can hold on to hope for the young people that we get to walk alongside if it all depends on me.
Yeah.
If it's up to me, we're in trouble. If God's in the mix, okay, we can do another day. And you know, from this acknowledgement of Rahab's, of the supreme God, she then accepts the instruction of the spies to leave that scarlet rope hanging from her window. Now, I love this about this scarlet rope. In Hebrew, that cord is a tikvah. I don't know if I've said it right, I hope so. I'll say it confidently and you'll believe me. A tikvah, which is the same word in Hebrew that means hope. That does not disappoint.
Excellent.
So get that. The instruction to Rahab, "Hey Rahab, you reckon this God can save you? Hang hope from your window."
Yeah.
The instruction to Rahab is to hang hope from her window. And you know, that's because she knew that when we find the source of hope, then there's always a lifeline to hang on to, right? Now this symbol, that wasn't simply for the Israelites to go, "Oh yeah, okay, there's the window, okay, we've got to look out for the family that's in that room up there," right? It did serve that purpose. But God loves to put little clues for us all throughout the Bible. And I think this is one of those clues where it's a picture. It's a picture of the coming, of Advent, of the ultimate lifeline, right?
Mm-hmm.
God putting on flesh and blood and moving into the neighborhood. That's what it says in the message. That scarlet cord of Rahab's is a beautiful picture of the lifeline that we started our morning with. The Jesus lifeline that hangs out the window for all of us. Romans 15 verse 13 says, "I pray that God, the source of hope," there it is again, the source of hope, "will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." When we find this God of hope, then we have confidence and boldness to make audacious requests. This is the third thing that we can learn from Rahab. Straight after her acknowledgement in verse 11 about the Lord being the supreme God, then she says in verse 12, now, swear to me by this Lord, this God of heaven and earth, that you will be kind to me. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you'll let me live. And then, I love this woman, she goes for the upgrade.
Okay? Yep.
Not just let me live. Then she goes, along with my father and mother, and my brothers and sisters, and all their families too, right? Because she knows that hope is confident expectation, and it doesn't do us any good to know where the source of hope comes from and not ask for anything. Not be expectant. That's like knowing that Nana's made apple shortcake, but you don't hold your bowl out. Right? Silly example, I know. I can tell that food is my thing. Rahab says, if I know that your God is the supreme God of heaven and earth, then here's my ask. Ephesians chapter 3:20 says, now all glory to God who is able. We could just stop there and it would be good. But it carries on. Who is able through his mighty power at work within us. It doesn't even stop there. To accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think. So fast forward to the end of the story. And this Rahab, this prostitute, from an ungodly, a godless nation, unlikely person, unlikely place, not only walks away with her life, but becomes the great, great grandmother of King David. Unlikely outcome.
That's amazing.
And get this, she's written into the line that leads straight to Jesus.
Yeah.
Does that sound a little bit like infinitely more than she asked for? Or could possibly even have dreamed? Cool story, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, but what about us? What are we believing for? What are we asking, even surrounded by hopeless circumstances? Even in the midst? What are we asking, knowing that only God can pull that off? Because if we believe in the God of Ephesians chapter 3:20, then surely hope, this confident expectation, surely that has to be the result. It's our faith in God, what we already know to be true about God, that leads our hope for what we haven't yet seen or experienced for ourselves. So Rahab, from what she had heard about things that had already happened, she had faith that the Israelites' God was the God of heaven and earth. And that faith led her hope, her confident expectation that she could get in on that too. About this time last year, while we were still meeting out in the community hall in Snails Beach, I read out some slightly adapted words from a song by a guy called Tom Walker, who wrote them to his friends struggling with drug addiction. Without knowing anything about NA, who actually were already holding meetings up in the Wilson Hall at that time, my faith in a God whose heart is for people, everyone, no exceptions, led me to a confident expectation for what we hadn't yet seen. I read these words and I quote, as a prophetic declaration over 5 Pullen Road, that's here, and to all the hurting and lost, unloved and addicted. And these were the words. If you look into the distance, there's a church up on the hill, guiding like a lighthouse. It's a place where you'll be safe to feel God's grace, because we've all made mistakes. So if you've lost your way, we will leave the light on. If you're here this morning and you're part of NA, then I just want you to know that those were God's words for this place, for you, before we even met you.
Yeah.
The Narcotics Anonymous group that meets here weekly has grown over the past year and I believe is now the largest in the country.
Wow.
And it has been the absolute privilege of Maharangi Vineyard Church to partner with what God is doing in that space through providing meals on a Tuesday, like we heard, and other points of connection during the week. How good is it to live in the light of hope, to ask God for big things and see Him do infinitely more? Okay. So just a little side note that I scribbled into my notes this morning, but if you've got kids or friends or family members that you are desperately crying out for, like, prophesy over them. You might go, what the hang is that? What do you even mean? Like, take what God has already said.
Yeah.
Find words from the Bible that He's already promised and just start declaring that out over your families, over your kids, over your relatives, over your friends, over your workplaces, over your relationships.
Yeah.
Declare it. And if you're here this morning feeling like you've lost your way, then I just want to tell you, you're in the right place.
Yes.
You're home. One of the verses of that song goes on to say, I refuse to lose another friend to drugs. Just come home. Don't let go. And I'm stirred by the indignation that I hear in those words. I refuse. Hope is where our indignation rises. Hope is bold. Sometimes even a little stroppy.
Yeah.
Hope comes from faith that God can.
Yes.
That God actually can do what He says. It's our faith in who Jesus is, in what He's like, in what all of this means for us. That's what allows us to hope for the stuff that we haven't yet seen. Now get this. If hope is confident expectation, then there's two things that will undermine that as quick as anything. Worry and disappointment. Worry is belief gone wrong, because ultimately we don't believe God will get it right. That's what worry is.
Yeah.
And disappointment, that old thing. Disappointment is the one that whispers that it's pointless to hope again. Don't get your hopes up. But this isn't about getting our hopes up. This is about putting our faith in the one, the source of hope. I want to suggest that wherever there's a lack of hope, we've partnered with a lie.
Yeah.
So let that one for a minute. In what areas of your life have you given way to hopelessness and despair? We're going to ask God to reveal the lie this morning. For me, I have these old habits of negative thinking about myself. Things I'm sure many of you could relate to. But I had this revelation a month or so ago that any time I believe a lie about myself, it's actually a lie about God.
Yeah.
So when I buy into that I'm not enough lie, I'm actually putting limits on what I think that God is able to do in and through me. It's not a lie about me, it's a lie about God.
Yeah.
My Bible tells me in Ephesians 3:20 that God is able to accomplish infinitely more than anything I might ask or even think through His mighty power working within me. So do I believe that or not?
Yeah.
As I was praying this morning, I just had this thought come into my head that when we lose focus, we lose hope.
Mm-hmm.
Like looking through a lens that's not adjusted correctly, right? Adjust the lens this morning. Focus on the source of hope. And things will come back into focus. Wherever there is a lack of hope in our lives, we've partnered with a lie. And we're just going to create space this morning. We've got a song, I think, nearly ready to go. Yep, that can start playing. Because I don't want us to walk out of here and take those lies home with us.
Yeah.
Right?
That's good.
Don't listen to a nice sermon about hope and leave here without it.
Yeah. That's good.
Here's where we're landing. If that's you this morning, if there is an area of your life that you can identify that you have let hopelessness come, wherever there is a lack of hope, we've partnered with a lie. And yep, I'm going to ask you to come up the front this morning. And I know you don't want to, because I've been here so many times. Stomach churning, knowing that God's speaking to me, and I really don't want to get out of my chair. I know it. And you know, there's nothing amazing about the front of this church. Nothing special about this whatsoever. But I tell you what, there is something significant in, is in your action, is in your activating, and you're going, yeah, that's me, and I need this morning, and I'm not walking out those doors without responding.
That's right? Good.
So I am going to encourage you to come up here, and we've got a team that are going to pray as you ask God to reveal the lies that you've been in partnership with this morning. And they're going to pray with you as you break the partnership with the lies of the enemy so that you can encounter again,
yeah,
or maybe even,
yeah,
the very first time, the,
yeah,
God of hope. Don't wait for me to stop talking. You can start coming up.
Yeah.
Right? We'll make space for you on,
yeah,
the front row if you just want to sit here. Once God's revealed the lie and you've broken agreement with that, then we're going to ask God for the truth. And you're going to write that down. I've got paper and pens up here. And you're going to write down the revelation, because that's what you'll hold on to and how you'll walk out your hope this week.
Yes.
Don't worry about anyone else. You guys can look after yourselves. You can take yourself up to the Wilson Hall for your coffee when you're ready. But,
yep,
this morning, we're not leaving here with old lies and no hope.
Yeah. It's good.
So I'm going to pray over us. And if that's you, please come up and don't walk away from the lifeline that is,
yeah,
hanging out for you this morning.
Yes.
Father God, I just pray over all of us. And
yes,
as people are making their way down in response to you, I ask,
yes,
that you would stir hope in our hearts,
yes,
this morning. That our hope would be robust.
Yes.
Coming from the belief that you,
yeah,
are enough, regardless.
Yeah.
That you can do infinitely more than we could even imagine. Even in whatever seemingly hopeless situations we're facing.
Yes.
Thank you for the lifeline of hope that is Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.